Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. A few weeks ago, I was sitting in on a beautiful summer afternoon in Berlin. I was sitting in the garden of an old friend, and we grew up in the same neighborhood in the south of Berlin, and went to school from the very first day down to the Abitur, to the end of the high school. So yeah, we knew each other pretty well and for a very, very long time. And then after the Abitur, we went different ways. We took different careers. We did different things. And this person wants to organize a high school reunion. All those 120-something people that made the Abitur together with us, inviting for a big party. And during that, we got in contact again after a 20 years break. We said, okay, let's have a coffee and water together and chat once we're in connection now. And we started talking. And of course, we started talking about what we did, what our professions are, where our jobs are, how we make our money. And we both are in our 60s now, so a lot has happened. And what have you done? That was the question. And he said, hey, I checked out your websites, and to be honest, I don't have a single clue what you're doing. I don't understand this. And if this person, he is a banking expert, he made a career in banking, and if he doesn't understand what I do, it's not good, but it's not a disaster, it's not a big problem. But I hear this over and over again, that people don't really understand what I do. And I take this chance today to make an episode here in the Human Technology Podcast explaining my offer. What am I doing? How do I ensure your success with my work? This is the idea behind today's episode, just describing what I'm doing, what my offers are. It is all about automotive user experience, user interfaces, HMIs, human machine interfaces, usability, user experience, human factors. It's all about the relationship between humans and technologies, and mainly in cars. I have a very few clients out of mobility, industrial, machine tools, but more than 90% of my revenue, of my work, is done in automotive. So that is the first point. I am an automotive UX, UI, HMI expert, professional. And I started this in 1987. My very first project. And since then, this was a student project I did, an eye movement analysis. Since then, I'm stuck to that. I did my PhD in this area. I worked in the car and driver department of Mercedes for a couple of years. Then I joined CAA and Harman. And at Harman, I developed HMIs for various automotive customers like PSA, like Toyota, Harley Davidson, Mercedes, Porsche. So all these companies were clients of Harman, and with my team, I developed their HMI solutions. Then I had a couple of years where I was not too deeply into automotive. And when I started my own business in 2015, since then, I'm back into 90-95% automotive work. Just a little remark here. If you would have asked me 10-15 years ago, I would have told you, automotive HMI, this is almost over. If we have a 7-inch display or a 9-inch display or a 12-inch display, if we have this entire thing in red, green, or blue, this is not is a real, real difference. This is not a game changer anymore. Then automation came up. And in automation, we grab right into the deepest relationship between car and driver. And this changes everything. And suddenly, the automotive area, the automotive HMI area, the automotive usability, user experience area, got a totally different twist. New game, new players, new ideas, new solutions. And the same is happening today with artificial intelligence. This again will change the entire game, will change the entire idea, will change the entire solutions that we have in the area of automotive usability, user interfaces, user experience, the relationship between car and driver. And I will make a separate episode probably. The next or one of the next episodes will be deeply about exactly these changes, automation and artificial intelligence in automotive HMIs. There are three different ways I am delivering my knowledge. There's three different things I'm doing. One is nudging. The second one is strategy reports. And the third one is long-term cooperation. These are the things that I'm doing, and I will get into all the three and explain you a little deeper and a little more in detail on what I do here. So let's start with nudging, pushing people a bit, setting ideas, putting fresh ideas, maybe strange or crazy or dangerous ideas into the brains of the people working at different companies, into the companies, by doing very short little pushes. And here, of course, the keynotes are the most prominent way of doing this. A keynote is a speech of between, let's say, 20 and 60 minutes. And it's well-designed, it's well-done, and it's a presentation that you do on a certain subject. I talked with my mentor about the difference between a B2C and a B2B keynote. I had not been aware of this. I mean, I felt that there is a difference. There is a group of people, when you type in keynote speeches into YouTube or any of the other video portals, and you get to a TED keynote or you get into the greater world, there very often you have people that are B2C. They are talking to you as a single person, as a one person, as a private person. B2C, business to customer. And they are trying to sell their coachings, their online courses, their mentorings to single persons. Very often, very personal things, personality development, very often in this. So this is what is usually happening in this B2C area. This is not what I'm doing. So I'm not doing, I tried to get into this one, but I don't have a product. I don't have anything that I'm selling to single persons. And this is where I just simply stopped it. And these B2C stages, these people usually either speak for free or even they buy stages. There's only a very limited number of speakers that make money with their keynotes. It's totally different in the B2B area. And I talked to my mentor. She is in Germany comparably famous person, Annabelle Whitney. Rock singer, was background singer for Joe Cocker and Michael Jackson and things like this. But today she is a mixture of entertainer and speaker. And she's mentoring a low number of people. And I'm one of these happy persons to have her as a mentor. And within just 90 seconds, we were standing on a hallway in a hotel. She explained me the difference between B2B and B2C. And B2B, this is what I'm doing, is when a company hires me as a speaker for an event. This can be a conference organizer, but this can also be a company saying, okay, we have a sales event, we have a big party event, and we want someone to speak something thoughtfully, something carefully, something maybe a little funny and entertaining, but we want to educate our people, we want to nudge them into the right thing. And this is what I'm doing. And then usually a client calls me or calls my agent, and then they approach me and say, yes, we have this and this request. Can you talk about this and this and this and that? And then they decide, yes, this is my area of competence, or no, this is not my area of competence. If it is my area of competence, then I will write a specific keynote for that client. It is, of course, I'm that honest, I'm telling you, I have building blocks, I have some parts that are already done that I'm putting into this, but I'm arranging this specifically, and I add on specific knowledge for my specific clients. And then I come and I have my speech, and then after this, I send you my invoice, and I send you an invoice because it's part of my business. And then it's just like you hire an artist making music for you, so you hire me speaking to you. This is what I do. Can do the same thing with workshops. Then it is not a 20 to 60 minutes kind of thing, but maybe a one-day workshop. We can get deeper into certain aspects, deeper into single aspects of my knowledge. We can have interactive parts in there. So that is basically the workshop part. The second area of nudging is the HMI quick check. I have clients that say, hey, we have done an HMI development, but I'm not really sure. We're not really sure whether this is working or not. And before we start implementing, could you have a check of our concept? And then they sent me maybe a couple of graphics and a menu tree, and then we talk a bit, and then I write them an analysis. This is also an easy yes, a quick offer that I can give to my clients. You can test me that way. Does it work? Do I do the right things? Do I do the things in the right way? Do I communicate in a way that you understand this? So we can check this one out in the HMI quick check. And then you get a couple of pages as a report with my opinion on this one. And my opinion means it is backed up by 35 years of experience in this area. It is not something that I do just for fun, but this is my profession and this is the knowledge that I put into this. A similar thing, a little more extended, is the HMI sparring. I give you a constant input. I had a client, they had a sprint in their HMI development, a one-week thing where they pulled everyone together, working on the HMI and on bringing that to a next level. And I dialed in every morning for an hour or 90 minutes and gave my thoughts, my input on what they have done during the previous day. So this is the HMI sparring. And then I'm the avocado diabolo, the devil in that, asking the questions, asking the nasty questions, asking the questions sometimes employees don't dare to ask, because they fear their bosses or they fear the CTO or the CEO and say, I know there may be something wrong, but I don't want to say, I'm doing this. It's my job doing this and telling your bosses that there is something wrong. So this is what I offer in the area of nudging. The second big area is strategy reports. These are reports I compile for my clients. I've just delivered one to one of my clients. The idea behind this is making my clients future safe. Very often there's a question, hey, where should we invest? Where should we put our resources? Where should we put our money, our time, our people, our focus to do the right things for the future? All the markets are unsure, are volatile, are changing. We live in a VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. I can help my clients in that. By discovering trends, saying, okay, these are the trends. And I talk a lot about trends here in this podcast. So there are many, many episodes where I give you my view on certain trends. And of course, I don't have a crystal ball on my desk. I don't have this. And so I cannot be 100% sure about what I'm doing. And I'm very open about this. But say, hey, there is a certain future out there. And there is more than one future out there. And you can select. You have a couple of parameters in what you do. And if you do this and this and that, then you can be future safe. And this is what I do with all this trend recognition and the understanding of trends. Discovering areas of innovation. Where is an area that you can, as a company, be innovative? I have one client, they have developed an excellent HMI input device, very well done, very nice. And they asked me, yes, okay, we have a couple of use cases. We have a couple of ideas of what to do, a couple of things we can do with this. But where is additional innovation? How can we innovate even more? Where are things? What do you see that we don't see? Because we are right in the middle of this one. We are deeply involved in all the technical details, but so we are missing maybe something that is outside there. And this is what I'm doing for my clients, that I tell them, hey, this is an area where you can invest in, where innovation makes really sense based on what you already have done here. Sometimes people ask me, how do you do this? You don't have a crystal ball on your table, on your desk. So how do you do this? And one of my superpowers is switching my focus from very narrow, very detailed, back to very broad. So I can get into a very detail, saying, okay, this is this. And then I can move out step by step, putting this into a network, let's say internally in a device, putting this into a network inside a car, inside mobility, inside the entire society. So I'm moving and I'm making these constant shifts between the levels that I'm on, between the height that I'm working on, behind the focus of my view. I'm constantly changing that. And this is one of my superpowers beyond my network and my knowledge and having looks, views into different industries. All this is possible. And I'm delivering these reports. They usually have between, let's say, 50 and 150 pages, graphics in there. I prefer to write them in with Word as a text, but that's just to make it easier for me, because in Word it's very easy to structure a text, which in PowerPoint, for example, is not that easy. But if a client wants to have a PowerPoint set at the end, a set of slides, of course, no problem, I can also deliver that. So these are the strategy reports. And the third one is the long-term cooperation. And in this case, long-term means, let's say, everything beyond 2 or 3 months. Everything that is longer than just a few days. Everything that's longer than just a workshop that we have. And this includes HMI developments. I have done an HMI development for an electric car startup, an Indian-Italian electrics car startup. They had a very specific user group. And they asked me, hey, how can we do this? And we have these different HMI instances in the car. We have a cluster. We have a head-up. We have a center stack display. We have a couple of hard keys. How can we do this? What shall we show where? What shall be interactive in which way? And it was a very, very sporty car. It was a sports car, a high-end sports car. And I said, okay, these guys, they are very focused on the road. They don't want to have, this was my thinking then, we don't need the center stack display while driving. Yeah, and so we can have some kind of screensaver on top of that. This could be something that could be a result of the developments that I am doing here. And then my clients get a result, a description of how the HMI could look like to meet their specific markets, to meet their specific user groups. So that can work. The second way of long-term cooperation is process implementation, tool implementation, setting up an HMI development in the right way. I had one client, which is a Chinese electronics company. And they approached me and said, hey, when I get into the automotive market, can you help us? How can we develop automotive HMIs? And I was hired for 2 years and I set up a team for them. And I was establishing the tools, the tool chains. I was teaching the people. Sometimes I felt like in my assistant professorships, where I said, okay, I was really teaching them the basics of automotive HMI design. And after 2 years, they were ready to do this, and they're very successful. They're delivering excellent products, first of all, in the Chinese market. And that's a good feeling for me. I really love that feeling to know I made my footsteps there. I left my ideas. I left my inspiration. So they have a fair chance of moving forward into the right direction. And the third one in long-term cooperation is mentoring and coaching, either teams or single persons. I had one person calling me saying, hey, I have this one single guy here and he's very smart, but he has zero experience in automotive HMI. Could you please be a mentor for him for a couple of weeks, maybe half a year, put him in and help him be there for question he's having. And I did the same with teams, small teams. They were fresh together and being there, helping them with my knowledge and my experience that I have to move forward into the right direction. Okay, so that was basically the main ways of for me of delivering knowledge. So it's nudging, the quick pushing. It's the strategy reports with all the trends, the innovation areas that I'm delivering, and long-term cooperations that I'm doing with my clients. And I said long-term in this case means everything beyond 2 or 3 months is already long-term for me. Beyond this, I'm doing a couple of other things. I have 3 assistant professorships at the moment in Germany and in Austria. There I'm teaching students, young students. I really love that work because there's a lot of HMI, UX, UI problems out there. And to be honest, I cannot save them myself. I'm an old man now, and so there will be a lot left. And having the idea, I'm teaching these students. They're taking my knowledge and reusing that and implementing that in their own environments, in their own context. That, again, for me is a very good feeling. And to be very honest, I don't get too much money off these assistant professorships. But I'm doing this because I believe it's a good thing to inspire them, to get them right on track, and to help them to make the right steps. I wrote my book, Status Offline, which is available in German only. I talked to my editor. They're not too much interested in bringing out an English version. So if you speak German or if you want to train your German, get a copy of that book. I'm already planning the next book. I'm still in a very early planning phase, just trying to find out what am I going to write about? What are the things I'd like to talk about? What are the nuggets, the knowledge, the pieces of knowledge I'd like to drop? And for this, but it will take some time. So it's not a very short-term thing I'm doing, but it's more like a long-term project thinking about next book and then writing it. And I love to do this. I love to write books, and so I'm doing this. The last one is what you're doing right here. That's the podcast. It's the Human Technology Podcast I'm having. I have the German version and I have this English version you're listening to at the moment. And again, here I'm dropping my knowledge, and I talk a lot about what I think, what I do. And if you want to get this content, feel free to listen to the old episodes. I'm doing this since almost 2 years now. And so there's a lot out there that you can learn from me. All right, this was today's episode of the Human Technology Podcast, talking a bit about my business, my ways of delivering, getting into the thing, and I hope I was able to let you know what I can do for you, for your success, to move you forward, to move your company forward, to move your products forward. It's basically all about making technology sexy, making putting the user into the focus of technology development.
That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.